This week on RSBNB Update, the Necromancy reveal is here, and we dissect everything. We cover what a new combat style means, how skilling factors in, and what it needs to do to be successful. There's also lore, music, and the big question of why. The Necromancy journey begins now. This is RSBNB Update, episode 937, recorded Thursday, June 1st, 2023, Consensual Necromancy. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. This week, we're back. We, of course, have the first look announcement at Necromancy, so with that, we're going to do a bit of a deep dive into the announcement, into the video, into the live stream, but of course, Tanis, welcome aboard. You're here as you are each and every week.
Thank you, Shane.
Also joining us this week is Parnassius.
G'day, g'day.
And Persia Dragon, who we're just going to call Dragon throughout the duration of the podcast. You first met him on our Fresh Start coverage. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Give the community a bit of a once over as to what you specialize in, what you do on RS, why you're here, sort of thing.
Well, I have max XP. 4K Warden is the only current PVM. I would say high level achievement I have, but those are kind of the main two things I specialize in. I have 4 maxed accounts, so archaeology was probably my favorite skill. So I'm really looking forward to the topic today.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I think we're all looking forward to this. I went into this week with a bit of anxiety. Let's just say, I don't know if you guys felt similar, but I'll get into that in just a moment. I want to get into that. And as you can tell, I'm diving. Lusting? I don't know. You can tell I want to get into this so bad because I have been completely blindsided by this skill and the way it went. But full show notes can be found at update.show. We're also in Discord at rsbnb.com/discord. Our friends chat is Bits Bytes. I had to put this panel together because I needed some people who were on the fence about necromancy when this was first announced. And like I mentioned myself, I went into this week with a great amount of anxiety about this, to the point where things like the Elder Scrolls Online expansion coming next week, the new season of Strange New Worlds, had overtaken my hype for necromancy because I didn't want to overhype myself. I didn't want to bias myself with an opinion going in. And I didn't want to, as we talked about last week, set expectations that weren't going to be real. I feel a little bit better this week, but let's kind of just go in through this. Tanis, how are you feeling earlier this week?
I was feeling pretty flat earlier this week, but I feel that's changed a little. I'm impressed.
Oh wow!
With what I've seen. Yeah.
And to be fair, that's a tremendous amount of growth, because when we first found out it was necromancy in December, you told me you wanted nothing to do with it. I think we can be honest about that.
Yeah. To me, it was like the skill that nobody asked for, and you know, that's just what people would answer. And they say, what's the next skill? I don't know, necromancy? And
dialing.
Right.
That's what old school's getting. Parnassius, how'd you start your week off?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to try and avoid everything about it because I wasn't super excited when they announced it, that it was going to be necromancy. I wasn't sure how it was going to fit into the game. So I was just going to avoid everything about it. But then discussions started in our clan chat, and it got me really worried, really pessimistic over it. So you then invited me onto the show, and I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to go and check it out. So I watched the videos, watched one of the content creators, and I must say I'm now hesitantly optimistic.
All right.
Actually looks, yeah, because I mean, I'm going to judge everything by archaeology, which took over
the gold standard
skill.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So archaeology is the gold standard for a skill these days, as far as I'm concerned. So, what I have seen, it may sort of live up to what I'm hoping for. So,
yeah, yeah. How about you, Dragon? Where did you start off, and where are you now?
Well, when they did that release video, I was actually very disappointed because I had already kind of envisioned
what you wanted it to be.
Yeah, what I wanted it to be rather than what they had already worked on for design. So when I saw it, I was actually extremely I am not feeling this at all. But I did watch the live stream, I think is what actually flipped the opinion once I got some more information on it, because it almost felt like it wasn't going to deliver what kind of expectations I had already, preconceived notions that I already made up about it in my head, little headcanon before it actually releases. So that was kind of the change.
Like I have a saying with this, we have a wonderful team behind it. We have Mod Timbo, Mod Ryan, Mod Luma, Mod Rolly, to name the J-Mods who were on the couch there, and many more involved in supporting the launch. But I always say, and I think this is what's made me feel better for Necromancy, is that if they ever made a RuneScape Monopoly game, which I think would be a wonderful idea, which I'm sure somebody out there already has, when they do the money on the money, they need to print "In Timbo We Trust."
Very true.
Actually, I'd play that Monopoly game.
Yeah, it would be good. It would be good. But we've had a show title before as well, "In Timbo We Trust," and that's what it comes down to when looking at what we got for the game, for new skills, for new pieces of content. Whenever Mod Timbo is involved, my expectations and fears just go away. And it's not to say that any of the other devs are bad, but at the same time, it's Mod Timbo who has been there for so long. If that makes
sense, he's proven himself.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So the way we're gonna structure this show is we're gonna move through the first look post, then we're gonna look at some of the things that were talked about in the Q&A, and then we're gonna talk about our own opinions that we've formed since then. And in full disclosure of how we've set this up, and I didn't hold the guests to this, but it was a discussion among Sirion, Tanis, and myself that in doing this, we needed to make sure that the core of us who were involved in setting up this show structure this week, that we didn't bias ourselves going in. So the way that Tanis and I did it here was that we consumed all the information. We watched the video, we read the news post multiple times, and then we watched the live stream. And then it wasn't until after that that I started looking into what other people in the community were saying, what the content creators said, what social media was saying, and so on and so forth. So just keep in mind as you hear our opinions there, that's where those opinions were founded, at least for Tanis and myself. I'm not going to hold Parnassius and Dragon to that same standard and that same path that we took, but I just wanted to put that out there in terms of disclosure, that the way Tanis and I at least went about this was for that, just to ensure that we didn't have any expectations set for us like we talked about last week, inadvertently one way or another. So,
and just on myself, I don't follow anything on social media because it just tends to always be so negative. The same as a certain forum out there that I never ever read unless I absolutely have to. I like to make my own opinion on things. I don't like to have a preconceived idea shoved down my throat, which was why I was going to wait until it actually got released. But I like to form my own opinions and not sort of be swayed by social media and such.
Yeah. Okay. So we start off this post and we start off this video. We've heard first conflicting reports about when this will be released. We heard in Lucario's video, very soon. We heard on the live stream, soon, capital S. And here in the post, we see later this year. And those are three very different things. I just had to address that because that's the first sentence in the post.
My thought was they released the beach early because it was probably going to come maybe August, September.
Yeah, and that's what our internal projections say, because we expect Woodcutter's Grove to be this month. We expect a quest to be next month, with putting Necromancy sometime late July or sometime in August, or maybe if it needs to be stretched a little bit later, September, right? Because if you're looking at the general RS calendar, you'd think that the best time to put it would be after a double XP weekend, which I think we got another one of those coming in August. So there you go. That might be an option for that.
My guess is the reason for the discrepancy is they, by all rights, think it's going to be soon, right? Like, it could be within a couple months. That being said, they want to make sure that they have the room to be able to polish if they need to, like they did with archaeology. And that, what, extra month, 3 months? What, like, I can't remember what it was, but that extra time really paid off, and I don't think they wanted to, you know, box themselves in like that, because you know how people are. Oh, it got delayed. You know what I mean? Like, this way, it's kind of open-ended. They could go either way.
Which is the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's also important in the post, it says that they focus on their learnings from archaeology, which is wonderful. And then we go straight out of the gate in learning that it's a standalone new combat style, which means that it sits outside the combat triangle, which I don't know if anybody was anticipating a new combat style on this. Dragon, I think you and I talked briefly about this.
I absolutely did not expect the combat style to be part of it. I thought it was going to be like an enhanced version of like divination, summoning, and like prayer all combined. So when I first saw that, I was, you know, I guess first reaction was I was totally against it. I was like, this is not what I expected. And, you know, it kind of, I don't want to say left a bad taste in my mouth from first impressions, but initially that's kind of what it did until I had actually watched the live stream and reviewed some of the information and kind of watched all the creator videos to get more information on it, because, you know, just that shock was, I guess, you know, it's been 20 years since combat skill.
And the first place my head went was Dark Magic from Old School, if this was going to be anything like that. Classic. I don't know. I'm probably dating myself by saying the terms Dark Magic when there's two magic skills back in the day. That was a long time ago. Nobody here played back then, right?
Nope.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Shane. Not a clue.
Back in the old days, all right, fair enough. Back when we had CRT monitors and Windows XP was new. That's when we're talking about here.
Back when a telephone was used to talk to people.
Yeah. So outside the combat triangle, and with that, it's launching with dual-wield weapons, armor, abilities, and incantations, while there will be supporting skills and items that work together with the other skills. You'll have your Death Guard, which is your main hand. This is used to channel necrotic attacks to damage, debuff, or afflict foes with certain effects. Then on the other hand, there's going to be the Spirit Lantern, which is what you use for actually conjuring up the dead, and you can conjure up to 3 undead allies to fight alongside you and enhance their capabilities with various abilities earned. And it's important to say that for anybody who's watched any of the content creator videos on this, everything that you saw on that combat-wise, damage-wise, how long these conjured spirits last for, how much damage they do, all of that's subject to change. Because it was said that they actually had numerous builds where some of the summoned allies actually persisted for longer. So we're aiming here to just paint a general picture of where everything lands with that. So, and then incantations are a necromantic spell book that forms part of the combat experience. And with this, incantations will provide the spells that support skills like Bone Shield, which we'll talk about that one later, because that one is going to have a substantive redesign from what they first presented. And of course, this will go to level 120, bringing combat to level 152. All right. So let's talk about the combat style angle on this one first, right now, with what we see. And I feel like out the gate, we have to, you know, just address the fact, like we've said, first combat style in 20 plus years. this is the biggest combat update since EOC. No ifs, ands, or buts on that. Does anybody want to open up with any hot takes? Anything controversial? Anything uncontroversial? Anything spicy?
Well, not so much spicy, but I will say this is where things started to turn around for me a little bit. Because I was expecting combat support. Didn't really want combat support. But then again, I didn't really want necromancy. But then to have a new combat style, that, it's very hard to surprise us, right, Shane? Like, yeah. They don't surprise us with anything. And I did not see that coming. Now, granted, I don't see much coming, but I didn't see that one coming, you know?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I was expecting sort of more of a support skill. I figured it would obviously, being necromancy, it would be definitely support combat, and I was hoping for some support skilling side. That it is a standalone combat system did surprise me. I am hoping the spellbook won't be you have to choose that over something like the magic spellbook. I'm hoping that they can run concurrently.
Yeah, you can.
You can. Good. Sorry, yep. I did miss that part. So that eases one thing. I do love the fact that you're going to get a main hand and off hand piece that level up with you. I think that is probably the best design.
That's where it changed for me.
They've come up with exactly. I don't have to sit there and go, okay, I need a level 20 weapon. Okay, I need a level 25 weapon. Okay, I need a level 30 weapon, sort of all within the space of an hour or so.
Yeah. And that's so important because you look at my other MMOs, you look at Star Trek Online, you look at ESO. The weapons you get in those games, you don't have to spend hours or perhaps days farming a boss or grinding, 2 billion GP to just get one piece of the weapon.
Exactly. And that's what
it's so good having it level up with you from that.
Yeah, I think they took that from Fresh Starts, where we had those weapons that leveled up with us. I think this has taken it to that next level. And all kudos. I mean, this is the bit where I started to think, wow, this is actually a skill I can now probably feel excited about, and the fact that you can't use Revolution, I'm still on the fence about, but
it doesn't matter though.
Exactly, it doesn't matter because
what we saw,
it levels with me.
It levels with you, and the auto attacks in Necromancy are bigger than the auto attacks in any of the other combat styles.
And
that's very
also
consistent with other games.
And as I said, if you miss that 1.8 seconds, it's not going to matter because that auto attack does that. So it will probably encourage me, who is a 110% Revo plus player, to maybe try some manual combat. So, if you're encouraging people to try, get outside their box and try something different, well done. And I think this will do that. So, as I said, I'm hesitantly optimistic about it now.
Yeah. Dragon, what was your first thoughts on what we saw combat-wise, mechanics and whatnot, being the PVMer of the group here this week?
Well, I actually really like the way the PVM is now, where every ability is like its own decision. I think it gives you more complex ways to interact with the game. So that's a big concern I have, actually, because it doesn't seem like it's going to be that difficult to actually reach like top end as far as damage. I just don't want it to be like so simple that, you use four abilities and you're doing the same amount as somebody who's got a full hybrid setup, but it does look promising as far as the gear. I actually really like the idea that you kind of level up your own gear from 1 to 90.
And they're
90,
also providing power armor past tier 70.
Right, power armor and tank armor. So you can actually split the choice, which is another interesting design, because it will allow you to either go, the tank route, say it's as good as Crypt Bloom, where you could actually do that, or if it's, normal RS where damage is king, it gives you that option to actually make that decision, though. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, who goes what route and what one actually seems to be the better focus for your first initial run through, at least.
Yeah, Tanis, did this get you at all interested in trying some PVM with what you saw?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it would be a good way to get in, because so I used to use Revolution when that's all that we had, right? I much prefer Revo Plus, but you know, the Conjured stuff is what really appeals to me, because they're gonna fight for me. So that I'm looking forward to. You know, I am apprehensive because exactly what Dragon just said worries me about becoming a prevalent opinion of the elite PBMers.
Well, right, no, I think the sense of what will happen with that is that there will be time for Necromancy to work its way into everybody else's rotations that are already there at the high end, and then that won't be a conversation I think that we need to worry about. That's what my hope is.
But I think
on that.
But the goal of Necromancy, of allowing PBM to be more inclusive and approachable, is antithetical to the way the elite PBM community kind of conducts themselves.
And you know, once again, I'm going to challenge that, because I think that's the perception of the PVM community, but the vast majority of the people I have interacted with have been really accommodating in wanting to teach and learn, if you ask them the questions.
But only in that set way, because you're never going to be as good as the person teaching you in that set way. When you're playing Switchscape, you can learn to play Switchscape.
Right.
But...
Right, and it's a question of if you want to learn to play Switchscape. And I actually had the idea, this is off the beaten path here, I actually had the idea before Necromancy launches of asking David to teach me to four-tick auto-attack.
Well, and look, there is a reason for that, right? That feeling doesn't come out of nowhere. That feeling comes out of, oh, it's competitive when it comes to drops. Right?
Yeah.
You gotta be the best or you ain't getting shit.
Right. And
so I get where that comes from, but Necromancy fixes that too. Yeah, they fix that too. So maybe that will help. It definitely helps me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I'm excited about it, but I am trash at combat, right? So I mean, of course I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and you know what my biggest feeling of things, something I'd want to do after this comes out, is I'd like to make a peer that just uses Necromancy with its defense levels, because I thought of doing that when I got into PVM for summoning, but let's be honest, the summoning familiars for DPM in the game are god-awful. You can't, you know, kill anything with just summoning familiars, despite it being, you know, a combat skill. So that's what Necromancy has to hold itself up to on that. And from there, we go into the design principles of how it becomes approachable to everybody else out there. And, you know, this was one of the big design questions that came up and was addressed in the live stream and addressed in the news post, is that the skill needed to be approachable and deep. And the way Mod Ryan put it is that in some games, and I knew exactly what game he was talking about with this, you'd see, you know, heroes or characters where it shows a difficulty level, like a 1-star difficulty level. With this, Necromancy needs to be approachable and deep. It needs to be that 1-star character, but at the same time, it needs to have a high skill ceiling. So, with this, we see first Jagex's first admission that combat in RuneScape is difficult to master. And Necromancy should be straightforward to learn and highly rewarding to master. And my only concern with this is that if combat in RS is difficult to master, what would the update path, what would the fix path look like if the existing styles, melee magic ranged, were made more approachable? And I'm betting that they couldn't do that without completely upending the combat system again, and that's probably where Necromancy comes in, I think. Did any of you guys see that as well in here with the
They alluded to that.
Yeah, they alluded to that. They basically said that you know, this is to let people get a good start on combat in those early levels. You don't have to be elite, you know. You are going to be able to learn all the way through properly and not have to worry about game bugs like four ticking and all that type of stuff. Or Switchscape, you know, that then that's what the game needs. I mean, you know, I don't mind switching out things like EOFs and such like that, but switching armor and weapons and all that to get a buff here and then use it for that, you know, getting a magic buff and then using it while you're doing ranging and things like that, I think is actual game breaking. And I think this is, and that's great for those, you know, sort of top 3 or 4% players, but for 90% of us, we just don't want to get into that type of stuff. That sweaty, I have to switch this, I have to do that, I have to bring this, I have to bring that. Oh, yeah. Damn, I forgot the weapon and all that
and
type of stuff.
And that's the number one thing that has me worried about this, is this going to be enough to get me into combat to put all those things aside? Because, well, I'll get to this more in my macro opinion on it, but as everybody knows, the number one thing I've complained about in the past has, of course, been the grid-based movement and the speed at which the game interacts. But I want to go to a quote from the post right now, because it says, "For the less combat experience, this is the perfect time to get to grips with it. Through an extensive tutorial, curated quests, and clear challenges, Necromancy will guide your growth both in power and in skill to help you take on the best combat experiences RuneScape has to offer. With its unique design, emphasizing auto-attacks as a potent baseline, you'll be able to fully focus on using your powerful abilities at the right time, and as you learn at your own pace, begin experimenting to get the most out of your abilities."
And not that wide range of RNG hits. So rather than between, as I said, rather than being between 20 and 100%, they're bringing that down, so it's going to be between 60 and 80%. So you're not going to splash as much.
Yeah, that's a wider conversation with accuracy that needs to be addressed. Yeah. You know,
which is
At the same time, but at the same time, that's not too much of a big deal, because there's so many of those bosses out there that are accuracy agnostic. Dragon, I think it's only raids, Nex, and who else? Is influenced by accuracy a lot, aside from, you know, the obvious, like the dinosaurs.
It's the same.
Telos definitely is one of those ones where accuracy matters a lot, where that one is still, I would say, gated by gear, because if there's tier 99 accuracy, it'd be a lot easier to just use one weapon rather than stat hammer or, you know, you got to have your G staff. So I feel like that boss is also unapproachable for a lot of new players, whereas Necromancy, it sounds like, is just going to bypass the accuracy thing altogether, because they had mentioned actually that it works in a different way, where instead of missing, now they said Necromancy basically is just going to do less damage, which means you always hit, but you know, you would get less damage for the lower hits. So
yeah,
it's
what happens at Zamorak. So,
which is a great way, and 7 new quests. That's what I'm most excited about.
Yeah, and you know, with that, we can move on to the lore side of this. 7 new quests in the live stream. We're kind of jumping ahead, but in the live stream they said these aren't your desert treasure style of quests. They're kind of more akin to archaeology mysteries, but a little bit more on top of that, so mini quest territory ish I guess, but they can be presented
as quests.
Well, I thought
the mysteries are more than a mini quest. Really? Honestly, yeah, a lot of them were.
Okay.
Yeah, some were. Yeah. Some were go and fetch me this and that type of thing, but you know,
you didn't,
I mean,
enjoy the puzzle in Caradet of freeing Trindane?
Nope, sure didn't. That's a negative.
Okay, and you know, we'll get into more of the lore stuff in the Q&A, because they had a good section on that. But I think it's safe to say we'll be bringing the lore diggers back for this, because there's definitely going to be angles to push on many different things. So that makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of want to go back though, Shane, because I think it's important to point out how what they have done to try to change combat fundamentally. This is like looking at EOC in hindsight, right? they trying to address Fortick auto attacking by making auto attacks better. They're trying to encourage you to think about what you're doing by, you know, getting rid of revolution. I don't know if I like that yet, but they're doing very specific things to try to make the decisions that I think they wish they could have made back then, but it can't be done now. It is what it is. I mean, you talk about a revolt. If they made the other styles to be like what necromancy is, which I think is what they wish combat was like, there'd be riots. Like, people would leave. And so that's why you have to just add a new style and do it the way that you wish you could have done it.
Well, you saw the exodus when EOC happened, all the people complaining about that. So you'd have, now that people are used to EOC, I mean, we've had it for, what, 10, 11 years, you'd have a similar type of exodus. We'd, oh, no, this is what I'm used to, this is what I want, don't change things, and off they go. So, yeah, I totally agree. They can't really do a whole lot with the three that are in game, so I think this
I'd also like to point out. I'd also like to point out that, you know, we have 15 action bars in game and, you know, 10, 12 abilities on each one. You do the math on that, the number of ability bars you can have on your screen at the same time. What is it? 4, 5, 6, something like that. And then you start laying out the list of all the different abilities you can activate. And then I'm getting back to your point, Tanis. It's going to take a while. You apply that to magic or ranged or melee. And then you bring in the question of, you know, could those other three types be brought up to a modern incarnation of what necromancy is proposing? You start to get to the answer that you would once again be undertaking a combat update that was as substantial as EOC. And to get it to a point where you could even present it to the players in the form of a beta, you would have had to already sink substantial amount of time into it. Obviously not the same amount of time for necromancy, not the, you know, 18 months we're pushing on this. But you would have had to sink so much time that it just really wouldn't be a project that you could approach easily on that. And with that, I feel like there's been something that was accepted, is that combat just is the way it is in RS. And, you know, we go back with that to what Mod Pips had to say last week when the release date was at, or the release live stream was announced. Mod Pips is Phil Mansell, the CEO of Jagex. He said that necromancy is bold, and in terms of scope, it's bigger than invention, and polish, it's going to be on the level of archaeology or more. And I looked at that and I said, yeah, it needs to be bold, because RuneScape 3 has lost the ability to be bold and to try dangerous things. And that's what necromancy needs to do. And, you know, I might be a bit different than everybody else out there, but I like it. I like to see when things, when companies and whatnot take risks and then they pay off. That's my favorite thing to see on this. But, so I hope we're in a good lane on that. Go ahead.
This is even better, though, Shane, because this gives the appearance of taking a risk without actually taking any risk, right? The only thing they're really risking is the development time and all that went into that. But they're not risking people throwing their hands up and leaving, right? They're not risking that, because this is a standalone combat style. If you don't like it, don't use it. Keep doing what you're doing.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. It's that risk without risk, because for people like myself who don't do manual combat, I'll try it out. If I can't do it, well, fine, I'll train it another way, and I'll stick to my Crypt Bloom and magic style. But it's going to give people a chance to try something new. If it hits, fantastic. If it doesn't go over that well, no big loss, because everything else is still in game. It's not changing any of the other combat styles.
Right, and for people like me, this is going to be great. Now, here's my prediction. Obviously, we have a lot of balancing to go, but I do not think necromancy will be the meta of DPS.
No.
In RS, because of exactly what Dragon said in the beginning, right? That's going to make that's going to make people feel bad. Oh, you don't have to work as hard as me. You didn't have to go through what I had to go through to master this style. And that's a fair, I mean, that's a fair opinion. Mm-hmm. So, and because of that, I think it will be a little bit lower. But that's okay with me, right? Because I just want to get through content. I don't need to be the best.
Dragon, where do you come in on that? Because I feel like we're having a discussion here about, you know, whether or not people who are adept at combat already are going to be okay with the way this goes.
Well, at the end of the day, I actually think it's kind of based on a couple things. So the utility of the skill, because like for a long time, magic wasn't actually very good DPS, but it was still used heavily because it had the utility for debuffs and other types of spells. Then obviously Vuln Bomb and then Fractured Staff, so it kind of worked its way back up. But I think there's definitely a place as an intro combat because it's outside of the others where, yes, it's a risk as far as what their historical formula was for damage. But I think that the skill itself is going to be something where everybody can use it. And I would like to see them actually kind of make that, since it's outside of the like damage is outside of the normal combat triangle, where they can actually incorporate it as more of a true standalone, where it becomes kind of like almost like your tank class is where I see it would fit the best, because you're not actually doing any damage, but that leaves a lot more room open for the damage mitigation, because, you know, you have conjures and stuff from what they've presented. So I think that gives them a lot of room to actually, I personally thought Animate Dead was like, because they did the beta, they were going to take a look at that and incorporate it more into necromancy. Uh-huh. So
and we don't know what the abilities are going to be. So there could be, you know, a tank angle to it. There could be a support angle to it. We don't know what they're going to be at this point.
Because you're not doing the damage yourself, your like familiars or conjures are, I think that's why it gives them the best opportunity to make it like a true tank class for RuneScape, where, yeah, you won't do the most damage, but you'll have the utility of possibly supporting your team. And your conjures will be doing some damage, but it will actually like open that door where they can, you know, because it's been pretty basic where it's all damage. There's not really like the class system or the styles. And I think this is kind of like they're trying to open the door to kind of add a different kind of play style, because it doesn't also seem like it's that click intensive, even though it is full manual. It seems like they only had a few abilities that you're going to be using from time to time, because it is auto attack based damage. So.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I saw an ability that was a damage reduction, so that immediately made me think, ooh,
yeah,
these are incantations. We can still use our spellbook. That means we can animate dead, and we can do the damage reduction. And this is an interesting point, too. At level 70, your gear is going to branch, whether you want tank or power.
Yeah.
Traditional RuneScape combat thinking would be, oh, you're just going to go power, but I think Dragon's on something here. And I don't know if the, you know, if the JMods are versed in other games, but
oh, they
necromancy
would be.
Necromancy is a tank class in another game that we play, Shane.
Yeah, I know. But it can also DPS, and it can actually heal
it. It can, yeah, but it's very versatile. It's an incredible tank.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually just looking at a roster before we began with the Necro Tank in it. So there you have it. I want to keep going on this discussion, but before we do that, I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters for this week. Start of the month, new monthly bit is out talking about our discussions of 5 years of Patreon support. So thank you to everybody out there for sticking out with us for that long. Those of you guys who have been with us since the beginning, you know who you are. There's a new monthly bit on the Patreon website at patreon.com/rsbnb talking about that 5 year retrospective. And I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters first. And then after that, I'm going to give you a bit of a preview of that monthly bit. So this week, I'd like to thank Alaska, Alfie S., Amos Reed, Anatoly D., Andrew C., Arvids L., Big Huge Rat, Bryflex, Chunk the Monk, Cycle RS, Drama Free, Dura Max, Free Milk, G Hammy, Gila Fleur, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jeebus, Jesse W., Jim M., Keski, Killer Snowball, Malinoric, Mohan V., Nate the Great, Nick G., Parnassius, Ricky A., Rippeth, RS Nerdherd, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Shirtpants, Stub E, The Naked Captain, The Dabbin' Goat, Tim, Tom V, and Zant. And of course, as I mentioned, thank you everybody for your support. Truly means the world to us. And as a bit of a preview of what these guys gain access to with this, in addition to 58 now other monthly bits in addition to this one, here's a bit of a preview of our monthly bit retrospective, where we're talking about some of our big takeaways.
I would say the second big takeaway for me, and this is not profound by any means, but this one is again on my favorites list, but it was the skill tier list. And what surprised me about that, with the exception of archaeology, was the whole S tier. Period. The skills that went into that still blow my mind that they made it there. And
it was archaeology, divination, and farming.
Yeah. Who went into that thinking divination and farming was going to be? I did not.
And
for me, you know, skilling's my bread and butter. That's my preferred, you know, content that I like to engage with. And I never in a million years, you know, before going into that, did I have those skills in S tier? And it was only by talking and going. And I think Inserion created this really cool rubric with it, where I was like, well, if you look at them and you use this rubric, oh crap, they fit in S tier.
Ed Slayer's a D.
It's not a D, it was a C.
Right. Agility's the D. Got it.
Yeah, and it should have been higher, but that's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, I knew archaeology and divination were going to be S tier. Or sorry, I knew farming and divination were going to be S tier going in, because I saw the ecosystem around with both of them. I saw them both get recent updates, and I have been a fan of the farming ecosystem since day one, since it launched, and that was only strengthened by 120 and the ranch out of time. So I knew that. And I think we all just knew archaeology was going to be there as well.
Yeah, well,
I would have left if it hadn't been. So, you know, yes. I would have quit on the spot.
Yes, that is fair.
Hey, is necromancy going to be an S tier skill?
We'll see.
So the purpose of this monthly bit, folks, was that we gathered and we sat down and we shared a bit about how we make the monthly bit. We shared about the most difficult monthly bits to make and our biggest learning experiences through that and our favorite episodes. And, you know, that one I think just stood out, Tanis, to pull that out and use that as the clip for this month. Because our tier list, you know, it's such a simple idea, but at the same time, we've learned so much from those, and it's a narrow picture of what every monthly bit does.
Yeah. Yeah. It really, really shows how the, how those reveals in the end, or those things that you don't see coming that just organically happen during a monthly bit. It was a good showcase of that.
And, you know, we have battles all the time. The skill tier list one was one of the fun ones about, you know, where to put each skill and whatnot. And I went into this and I managed to convince both of them that divination had to be an S tier skill. And lo and behold, here we are. So if you want more like that, we have those kind of revelations every month with the monthly bit. Patreon.com/RSBNB. $1 a month gets you 59 monthly bits. That's our bonus show. You're also helping fund the podcast throughout the year, because, of course, it's a volunteer project. Everybody puts their own time in, and we just appreciate your guys' support so much. For $3 a month, we have a VIP tier where you get a special rank on Discord, chat channel access, and high-quality stereo versions of the show. For $5 a month, you'll get a shout-out each and every week on the show, and you'll gain exclusive access to the clips that we use to make the clip show, at the end of the year. So a big, big, huge thank you goes out to all of our Patreon supporters for the past 5 years and more for allowing us to do what we do here. And hopefully you guys enjoyed that preview of our monthly bit. Thanks, everyone. All right. So I think it's time we talk about the rituals. I think that's an important part of necromancy that we haven't talked about yet, because everything's been combat. But the rituals are the skilling side of necromancy, which I am so thankful that those are going to be there. In the same way that, you know, you can high elk, or you can plank make, or you can string jewelry to 99 and 120 magic. Obviously going to be slower than actual combat based if we use magic as a baseline, but it's good that it's there.
This is what sold me on this skill.
Okay. All right. Let me just read a little bit more about it, then you guys can, the rest of you can dive in with your opinions. Rituals attract spirits to the city of and then free them into the Well of Souls. And with this, it's a mix between AFK-style training and lean-forward training, where if you interact with their Rockertunity-style items that appear, you'll get more XP for doing this. Tanis the Skiller among us, how did you feel about the rituals?
So, I was happy to see it here, right? And to see it be part of a new skill release. I didn't expect a skilling method, training method to be in a combat skill like that. It also seems to be something that binds all of the aspects of the skill together. The rituals, the way it looks anyway, the rituals will play an integral part into getting the points for your talent trees. It's going to play a role, I think, when it comes to the, making unpure essence, and it's just really going to bind this skill together. It's also going to give these skillers probably an opportunity to sell their goods.
Yeah, it says you can acquire materials that can be sold on the GE.
Yeah. Now, that all being said, we have to see what balancing is. I know from some of the content creators' videos, it does sound like it is pretty low when it comes to XP. But you've got your lean forward, and your AFK. That works, but they need to keep it in the vein of a Rockatunity or a time sprite versus what we have with construction. It's too big. It's too hard to see. Don't do that, guys. It needs to be more like Rockatunities or time sprites. And even those have their, have their drawbacks.
Yeah, in some of the videos I saw, one of the examples was a ghost that wandered across the screen. Another one was that one of the tiles started smoking, and the smoke in pre-release, caveat pre-release, did look like the Rockertunity smoke.
Okay, and that's good, right? Like, I'm really, really glad that it's here. This is something they learned from archaeology. You got to give something to, a little something for everybody, so that they can kind of find their place in it.
Yeah, and, like archaeology had the combat integration with ancient summoning and ancient invention.
Yeah, I mean, and I even knew people in during archaeology, they did nothing but sift sand and farm materials.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We had a couple in our clan who did it that way.
To 99 and 120?
Well, to 99.
Well, that wasn't their primary goal. I mean, yes, but that wasn't their primary goal.
How rich did
they were making money.
Yeah, I guess they got rich off it. And we know what your friends with the Fleet of Accounts will be doing when this launches. They'll be finding the skilling method for this.
Probably, yeah. Probably. Well, they'll find the way to make the money, and then that's... a lot of the fleet, you gotta provide for the race, and if you provide for the race, you make the money.
Oh gosh, okay. a dragon. You want to obviously focus on the combat side of this, I'm betting. How did the rituals make you feel here, aside from, you know, obviously needing them for the talents and whatnot?
Rituals seem like they're just going to be more so of a, I guess, just like a resource gathering to, I don't know if you need like some kind of item to like cast the spells and stuff, but it seems like it's going to be more catered towards the supply end. Yeah, but it looked like they were converting the bones and stuff into a supply that needs to be used for necromancy. So when you look at it like that, it seems like there's going to be kind of that like mining smithing aspect where you're have the rituals make the resources that allow you to train the skill.
It's also been said that it's not like archaeology where it'll be a whole boatload of brand new items. It will lean on items that are already in game.
Right, and when they released that list, they did a pretty good job, I think, but there were a couple things missing that they
updated originally,
but I think they should have
pure essence, overloads, and you want to stock up on overloads before this drops, folks, because pre-made overloads will update to include the necromancy boost, but ones made after will also require extreme necromancy potions. Pretty much every manner of bones can be used as well. As you'll need subjugation, chest, heads, and legs, spectral spirit shields, that's an item we haven't heard of in a long, long, long time, draconic visages, that's an oldie, spider silk armor, mystic armor, that's fun, algorithm thread, metal bars up to Bane, and the Praesil Codex, of all things.
Yeah, that specifically is the one that I'm talking about where they left that out.
And that's for the tier 99 curses. So are we thinking that there might then, and you know, speculation territory, are we thinking there might be some kind of necromancy based curse then?
I don't know, but I do not want to have to pay for that damn thing.
No. I mean like 550 mil right now.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to be purchasing that.
No, it's one of the last upgrades that you purchase in your combat style upgrading tree. So, let's talk about the talents then, because this is RuneScape's attempt at, again, classes and skill trees and the like. And the talent system adds new or upgraded abilities as permanent combat unlocks. And as you level up, you'll earn talent points, but you need to choose where they go, because it'll take up to level 120 to unlock all the talents, and you cannot reassign a talent after you have unlocked it. So some of us are going to be making mistakes on, you know, the first couple days here.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to, you know, I'd imagine there'll be prime content creation opportunity there for that. One of the things we're seeing as well with the talents, we see one of the first abilities, life transfer, sacrifice part of your life to extend your link to spirits from the underworld. It costs 50% of your life points and extends the duration of each active spirit link by 15 seconds. So, yeah, you have 10,000 life points. That's 5,000 life points down the drain to extend your conjured spirits by 15 seconds. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? That you take that much of an HP hit, hey?
That's why I think there's a lot of balancing to be done
still, yeah.
15 seconds doesn't sound very long to me, but then again, I don't know. Like, what do you think, Dragon? Because you're actually in the trenches with this stuff. 15 seconds feels short, but maybe it's longer than I'm thinking. I don't know.
It depends which boss you're talking about or which instance, because it sounds like it could be useful.
Like God Wars 2, that's a good amount, but something bigger, right, like Karapak or Zuck.
Well, it also, you know, Telos can auto, say, 8K in an instant, you know, so if you drain your health and get autoed and you die immediately, you're, you know, putting yourself in a bad position. So it kind of depends if they have gear that increases your health, too. I don't think they've released the tank gear specifically, I'm assuming, adds health, so that might make it a more viable option. Plus, we have the relic that gives you 10% more healing, so if you were to like stack those together, I think that's what they're looking at, you know, where you actually use consume items out of your inventory to kind of balance that damage that you're putting on yourself.
And then it gets to, you know, a very interesting question with this. If it's going to, and, you know, obviously caveat, numbers and such are subject to change on this, but you see why, you know, there needed to be the playtesting, why there needed to be the content creator playtesting, because definitely, you don't necessarily want to beta test this with the entire community and be making changes, you know, for the first 3 weeks that it launches. You want it to be something that's usable off the bat. And well, and then that trip to Jagex all of a sudden makes a lot of sense, I think.
Yeah, I was not happy when I heard that there was going to be some players that got an advantage, especially, you know, current players who are all out there who will be battling for first spot to sort of get that advantage over everyone else. But I think you are right there that doing it this way was the best, because, you know, as you said, you don't want it thrown out into the community and it becomes the most hated thing ever released because it wasn't balanced properly and such.
Right, and as we talked about last week, the response from this week's content creators' videos informs where things are going to go with this, and it in effect sets the tone. And, you know, that success or failure marker of what we're looking at, I don't think anybody's talked about this being dud. I think everybody has just been amazed by the fact it's a new combat style, which is in many ways a success on that, communications-wise, with where we're at. So, but talents aside, there's new runes, and those go with it, and those are the bone, spirit, flesh, and miasma runes. The way it'll work is that you use rune essence with impure essence, and then that allows you to craft the new runes. And I think this is what Dragon was talking about. You use something with your rune essence to get impure essence, and that's probably one of the methods of creation there for that. And then there's just a couple of other points about the early leveling experience, specifically necromancy, combat XP, rate reductions, in that they're going to be reducing the combat XP that you get to be tied to a more sane leveling arc to kind of preserve the feeling we all had with archaeology, if that makes sense. They say that at level 1, XP will be reduced earned at a reduced percentage of normal combat XP, which will incrementally increase at certain level milestones all the way up to combat XP you're more familiar with at level 120, so you won't be able to go, you know, to wherever you go train combat in this day and age and just completely blast through, you know, the first, you know, 10 levels of the skill and a couple kills with that. They also say that Elite Dungeon 3 will be rebalanced before this arrives. So if anybody needs to go get 99 magic, you have been warned. Or 120 magic or 200 mil magic. Go do it now.
That should have been rebalanced years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. We all learned how crazy that was in Fresh Start. I remember when we went there, Dragon.
yeah. I mean, I abused that in Fresh Start because it was available, but I'm actually glad that they're nerfing that. It's been just a problem from the start with the drops and then the XP, and then, you know, here we are 6 years later or whatever it is, and they still haven't, you know, got to it, which seems a little long, but better late than never, I'd say.
Yeah, and with that, I just want to go back to the item list for a second, and there's a good post in our Discord made by Malinoric in that, and I'm just going to disagree with you, Parnassius, on this. I agree with Malinoric in this case, that the idea of people who played it having an early advantage for the 200 mil raise, I don't think that's going to be a factor, because we all know what the items are now that have been shown. And sure, by the time this arrives, we'll all be aware of how to train the skill, and that any numbers that these people saw who are taking part in the race are likely to have been changed by then.
Exactly.
And they don't know anything about the quest. They don't know anything about that because they couldn't actually play the quests in the playtest, from what it sounds like.
That's right. Yeah, it was just basically testing the combat side, and yeah, they may have dabbled a bit in the skilling side of it too. But yeah, it when I saw the videos and such, it eased my mind on that type of thing that, you're not so worried about it now because, you know, there's not a whole lot. There's bones, there's rune essence, really. There's a whole new a whole new rune system coming in. So I don't have any issues with it now, and I think they did it the right way.
Yeah. And there's also marks on all their accounts to make sure that they didn't start merching any of these things before it was revealed to the rest of us. And they said that, I'm going to just read the last paragraph of this post. On behalf of everyone working on Necromancy, thank you so much for your excitement, speculations, and cries for more information over the past few months. Building a skill like this is huge. It's a multi-year labor of love, and every commitment has been a boost to us as we work super hard to bring you something special. We truly appreciate you all. And they have a list of all of the J-Mods who have worked on Necromancy up to this point, as well as people who have worked in a supporting role on it. And that's the first look at Necromancy in terms of the post. So, any questions, anything we want to talk about briefly before we move on to the Q&A? No? Okay.
No, it all seems pretty good, pretty straightforward.
All right. And, you know, the Q&A, I think, was good in the sense that it recapped a lot of things that were in the post for people who might have just needed clarifications on that. It didn't go into too many exclusive details because I think it's always a bad thing when Q&As provide exclusive information on that. To their credit, a lot of the questions actually came from Twitter instead of Reddit, which I thought was interesting. So big, huge props to Mod Doom for scouring other areas than just the subreddit as has been done in the past for these Q&As. So we dive into this by answering the big question of why necromancy. And this is something that I actually needed to know. So this is, I think an important distinction to have on this is, you know, why necromancy? Well, the way that this was framed is that when archaeology was done, necromancy came up quite a lot. And it had been something that was going to arrive in game for a long time. And the question was just going to be how necromancy was going to be done, because it had to be a different way. So with that, everybody knew that the hype was going to be around something like a combat support skill or an extension to summoning, but they knew early on that it could not be that. Okay. Now, one of the things that it had to be was it had to be grounded in RuneScape, which is going to be their guiding principle for new skills going forward. It has to be RuneScape-y, just like archaeology did. And they gave an example in that when divination came out, it was just a training method and there was nothing else to it. And I smiled when I saw that because we all know how long it took divination to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It also had to make it so that the player could work with the spirits in a way that fit their character that wouldn't necessarily be an evil way, because necromancy on its own conjures up ideas of things that are dark and evil. And with this, I go back to archaeology where, you know, they said the first idea with archaeology that it was boring and dusty, and it couldn't be that. Another thing that makes it RuneScape is bringing players along the journey in terms of people who wouldn't want to play an evil necromancer and players who wouldn't want to play with evil abilities. And they had to work that corruptive influence into the dichotomy in a very interesting way. So one of the key phrases that they came up with during the design was consensual necromancy. We are friends with our undead. And I don't know if that necessarily answered the questions for me about why it had to be necromancy, because, you know, necromancy was talked about before archaeology in one of the surveys that they did, I think in 2017 or 2018. So I was wondering, you know, what catapulted it forward on that. And I think what we see when we read into this is it's just that impotence to create a new combat style behind it.
Yeah, I don't think that answered the question really at all.
No.
Why necromancy? But it did answer the question of why it is the way that it is, like why they designed it the way that it is. But definitely not why it was chosen.
They didn't really answer, I guess, why it was chosen, but I think if you look at what they have said many times in the past on live streams is kind of the bridge of combat between the beginning and figuring out the intricacies of understanding the way the tick system works. They're trying to, it seems like, simplify combat to a degree where it's more easily understandable. And I think they had mentioned actually on the live stream that this was a chance for them to make a combat skill the way they would in 2023, which specifically sounds like they, not saying that they had made a mistake, but the way auto attacks aren't part of the actual gameplay, I think they would ideally like for necromancy to be the groundwork of all the other combat skills, where auto attacks become, again, the like main source of your damage, and then you're picking and choosing more powerful abilities rather than choosing every single action that you do, which, I mean, players like myself actually really like, so I'm not necessarily in favor of that, but I do think adding a way to make it more viable than, you know, currently it's not viable at all, assuming necromancy is going to be the first of its kind. It's, you know, going to kind of change what they have in design for moving forward if they want to adjust any of the combat like abilities or just the way it is actually interacting with monsters. But I think the tick rate is what is going to ultimately limit the other three styles from engaging in that same kind of design.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I've gone on with in the past is that when Archaeology came out, a bunch of people got, of course, the package from Jagex, including a letter from Maud Osborne, saying that at the time necromancy pulled ahead in the surveys and focus groups that they did, but they went with Archaeology instead, and they put necromancy on the back burner for that. And my question with that was, well, if necromancy wasn't good enough in 2018 when they started on Archaeology, why did necromancy, what made necromancy better now? And reading between the lines of why necromancy and the entire discussion of what we see with the combat side of it, I think the answer that should have been put out to this question of why necromancy is that RuneScape has a 20 plus year old combat system that was brought forward by EOC, but is still so god darn convoluted that you need to head on over to something like the wiki or any of the other video guides that are out there, including our micro lessons, to even have a good footing to understand what is going on. And if necromancy can fix that, if necromancy can shift that perception away from RuneScape combat so that somebody can pick up RuneScape Mobile on the App Store, get started with necromancy, and have a decent combat system to go with to carry them through the entire game, through Slayer and all the other quest combat and all the bosses that they need to fight, all the way up to wherever their RuneScape experience ends, I think necromancy will have fulfilled its goal, and that is the answer of why necromancy needs to happen. And I think that's probably what's imagined internally. And I was kind of hoping that would be the answer there, but that's my answer to why necromancy. And I'd be interested to hear if anybody has any alternate perspectives on what I just laid out.
Nope.
Did I just hit the nail on the head?
I think so.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. Dragon, what do you think?
You took the common sense approach, and unfortunately, common sense isn't so common anymore.
Yeah, I think ultimately the design, the way they have done it is to introduce like a better learning curve, at least to getting into combat and bridging it.
Yeah.
Whether you're the top end or not doesn't necessarily matter for this particular skill, but it sounds like they want to kind of at least bring people along so that way they can actually do content with their friends if they just start, which is actually one of the things I'm trying to do, is convince a few different people to start playing once it comes out so that way they can learn and understand and see if it actually is something where they can, you know, grasp a little bit quicker. So that way they could, you know, provide meaningful impact if they were to do any kind of PVM or higher end bossing.
And I mean, you don't need to be able to kill the highest end boss with Necromancy on launch, I don't think. I think if it can take you through Slayer, through the quests, through, you know, mid-tier PVM or even two mid-tier PVM, I think it will have accomplished its goal.
They were doing Solak in the playtesting.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, not everyone's going to do that. So.
Well, no, because even if you understand RuneScape's combat system, even if, look, I know what you're supposed to do. That doesn't mean I can do it. Like, you've got to move that mouse so quick, you got to make sure. It's hard, right? Yeah. Like, it's unnecessarily difficult. So even just knowing it and understanding it is not enough. It's not enough.
Yeah. And that gets to the next part of the Q&A. What does it mean to create a new combat style in 2022? Well, designing a new combat style brings 20 years of what makes combat great. These are their own words. It brings in the learnings from old school, EOC, and everything that they picked up throughout the years. And Mod Ryan said that this is the toughest design thing that he's worked on for RuneScape. Because, you know, you have to ask the question, how will this affect all the bosses on this? And with that, you know, there's the, of course, the thing where, you know, that, hey, Kalphite Queen, that thing, you know, prays against whatever combat style you're using. So obviously Necromancy will be great there. But there's things where they're very highly locked into requiring certain combat types to kill, like the Dagonoth Kings and Rex Matriarchs. So,
which is fine.
Those are the exact opposite. And with that, they said, you know, we're not precluding to adding a fourth type of Rex Matriarch to this where you'll be, need to kill Necromancy for it. So, I thought that was good. And once again, it's that trio of from Archaeology, Mod Ryan, Mod Timbo, Mod Rolly, plus Mod Luma joining the project on this. You get to a situation where you're dealing with, you know, what is effectively, like, and I say this in terms of just the amount of experience they have with working on RuneScape. You know, you're dealing with years and years of experience combined there. So, from that, we didn't talk much about the lore in the actual release post on this, but they said there's new quests coming with release that will tie to existing characters and places on this. And they say you don't need to be a lore expert coming into Necromancy, but as a player coming into it, it'll have its own unique story. And if you are into the lore, there will be things to pick up on throughout the way. And you know, I don't think there's much to write home about there. I think that's fairly typical for most games out there and the way they do things in the Stan Age. So that's good. The part for me where it got really interesting was the city of because, you know, but when we saw that, people were questioning about the name, the city of
can't really think of an okay.
And the idea behind it is that it's RuneScape's limbo. It's the way station for RuneScape souls, the leftovers of the undead society. And the really interesting part about that is the city is built upon the memories of the people that pass through it. So, as people pass through it and move on to the afterlife, that memory will start to fade, and that city will change. So, with that, the release of a skill means that it's a core pillar of the game, and as this progresses, this is just the beginning. So what that means is that as gets new residents and people leave the city's going to change. And that's their storytelling vehicle for this, rather than just having something that's consistent and static on the surface world. So I thought that was really neat, because we really haven't delved into that too much at a deep level before. So I think we're going to have our plate busy as well on the lore side of this, which is something that we thought could only happen once with Archaeology, but hopefully it'll be happening in a good amount with Necromancy. I'm not counting on as much as Archaeology, but probably still a substantial amount. Now there's the word again. Do you guys have anything else in relation to the name or the lore angles on this?
Again, I just love the fact that they are introducing lore and taking that that blueprint of archaeology to design the new skill, where they're putting a bit of everything into it. I think that is the core of designing a new skill these days, to sort of, you know, be all inclusive in all aspects of the game. And I think it looks like they have done that here again.
Yeah, and I think it was Modarelli that was saying that when you look at the name City there's so many things that have as a root, like Lum Bridge, and you get the idea then with that it's a underworld reference rather than just, you know, being that joke that it's like, what? You can also see the connections to the surface world as well, and they're going to be providing that lore when it launches, and I can't wait to dive into that with our Lore Diggers panel.
So the River Lum is their version of the River Styx?
Maybe. Maybe.
I think there's going to be a lot more lore than you think, Shane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have to. They set a mark with archaeology, right? Like, I'm not expecting it to be all-encompassing, because you actually uncovered the past with that. But at the same time, if you learn stuff throughout while you're doing it, I think that's going to be good.
Well, I think what's going to be cool is the Easter eggs and the people that you see coming through the city.
Yeah. Let's talk about that now.
The city change, you know.
Because one of the questions that came up is, can you bring Guthix back at level 120? And the answer was no, he's dead.
No, bring him back.
But the,
I thought we might get him back.
We'll swap. We'll sacrifice Saradomin and bring back Guthix.
But they said, what about other characters like Hazelmere, Tony, Tavia? And then they didn't provide too much information on this, but they said you might see some dead characters.
Mm-hmm.
And this also goes to what Mod Jack has always said about storytelling, in that killing off RuneScape characters in this day and age is not something that's good to do, because it puts the storyline in a hole. But I guess with Necromancy being around, potentially they could kill anybody off and continue their storyline in the afterlife with Necromancy?
Bring back Jazz.
So, I mean, they say that, but isn't it Fennec? Fennec is a thing. It's a character.
Yeah.
Is that the name? Yeah. Yeah. And she's been killed how many times?
Right. And personally, for me, I feel like we have undead business with, or undead business, unfinished business with Hazelmere after while Guthix sleeps. So I would have liked to have seen his character stay alive, but. Continuing on, development of Necromancy started in earnest in February or March of 22 and continued, or was first pitched in December 21. And with that, you'll be able to take on Necromancy's bosses solo, but one of them can be done in a group. It doesn't need to be done in a group. And the intention is, as they did with Zamorak, the intention is to make it so you can play the game your way, in that it will scale, the boss will scale in hit points, it will scale in loot. And the example, of course, given was Zamorak.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to mention, too, that everyone is going to get a drop. Like, yes, it scales, so the health goes up, but each person gets...
Did you catch the part about Mod Ryan's story when he was doing Raksha with Mod Ramen about how he would always get the drops because he did more DPS?
Yeah. Yeah.
But he said Necromancy's not going to be like that. They're both going to get the drop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. Where do I want to go next with this? They talked about the skill icon and cape. I wasn't going to talk about this. I didn't have a marker in for this. But they did say that they were talking about different variations with the Death Guard hand to the skull, and they went with something that was substantially different from the Slayer skull. But the point I wanted to say is that the colors of this cape were decided upon before the inverted skill cape. So the black thieving cape and the black archaeology cape were not the first black capes. The necromancy cape was with this. Or I guess the Slayer cape is, but you know what I mean.
And purple.
Yeah, black and purple. That was the angle, black and purple. This one wasn't the first inverted one. The thieving cape wasn't the first black and purple inverted cape. This one was. And, you know, that raises the question, when are we going to get the inverted necromancy cape? They got to bring those back at some point.
Well, I know is Grant's going to be a very, very happy.
Yeah, because the kiln capes are actually they're adding a fourth kiln cape, and the magic kiln cape and the magic Zuck cape will become blue, but the necromancy kiln cape and Zuck cape will become purple, and Zant's, of course, a big fan of purple with that, and you'll have to recombine for the hard mode Zuck cape, but I'm sure that won't be a problem, right, Dragon?
Not too much of a problem, but the kiln cape, though, has to be done with necromancy, which is going to be interesting because those monsters actually they have reduced damage taken if you're not using on style. So I wonder how necromancy is going to factor in for the kiln specifically. The igneous stone you can always just get beforehand. So it would be weird to, you know, have another combat style be the meta.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they each have their own weaknesses in the kiln, right?
Right. So if you don't use on style, I don't know if it's just damage reduction, but might be damage and accuracy. I'm not entirely sure, but you know, that's interesting because if it just bypasses all the caps, I'm sure nobody with 70 to 90 is going to have a problem, you know, running through it real quick because it's not that difficult anymore from like when it came out. So
yeah.
Plus, you can still use familiars too, so that'll allow you to, you know, I don't want to say cheese the kills, but it allows you to get more damage out if you run summoning pots or something. If you're really looking to get it as soon as possible.
Yeah, and then we go to the support angle on this because you know the question had to be asked: can you conjure necromancy allies and switch to a different style? They said that you know right now you can, but it's going to be a balancing question. They can be conjured, but it's a question of should they be as strong if you swap away from necromancy. No. And the other idea they had was making them just despawn entirely with that, and that you'd be turning necromancy off if you did that.
Yes.
They're discussing this internally. Nothing has been decided on with this, but to actually use necromancy, you will need to use the main hand like all of the other skills. Dragon, where do you stand on this? Would you like to be able to kind of combine the two with this? I don't know how much switchscape you do compared to friend David, who we had on a few weeks back, and his idea.
I'll just lay out the probably hot take for most people. I actually find not switchscape itself, but style switching repulsive. I think it ruins the feel of the game, but two, also any meta in the game is always going to include that if the ultimates overlap. So I find it very disheartening as well to be, you know, in the theme of a mage and then you just switch your entire loadout to range immediately and you're not punished in any way. So when you do that, you obviously are going to be able to output more damage. And I feel like necromancy is the perfect opportunity to actually, you know, remove that because I don't think that should be the ultimate. I'm very particular when I say this about you should be locked to a style. You should be able to switch freely between the you know, types of damage that you're using as far as you know, like mage weapons, you can juggle them. I don't have a problem with that type of switchscape, but it's when you incorporate full gear sets and like obviously everybody's first thought is you summon all your necromancy monsters and then you immediately switch to, you know, fractured staff rotation and you're going to be, you know, at that point, balancing is almost impossible
in that case, maybe they should just have them despawn entirely with that and leave that kind of supplementary combat support familiar thing to summoning.
I would say on release, their best bet is to actually have it just despawn and then look at, you know, some testing of what the numbers currently are. because I just have a feeling that balancing one is going to be hard enough, but let alone balancing it with the other styles combined would be, you know, I don't want to see a 2 year turnaround time on something like that, where it would be the meta until, you know, like the recent beta.
Because keep in mind, these things have a timer on them. There were different builds in play at the playtest session. Some ran longer than others. And then with that, you need to swap back to Necromancy and extend it by sacrificing your own HP, as we assume would be the case on that. So that's the thing I want to leave to the balancers on that. But I think I'm in your camp with that. Yeah, and you know, that might be a bit of a hot take, if I'm being honest. You're right, that is.
I feel like for a lot of high-end people, they just are so focused on the fact that they are outputting more effort, so they should get more damage. But at some point, it, like I said, thematically does not make sense to be a mage, and then all of a sudden you're now a ranger, and then you blink twice, and now you're a melee-er. You know, what's the point of picking a gear set and a loadout and choosing a specific style if you can just bring them all?
Yeah, and like when it comes to things that the content creator said, and this was one of the questions that was asked in the Q&A, what was one of the pieces of feedback that you took from the content creators? It came to the Bone Shield spell that we mentioned earlier, which was initially an incantation that you would cast and that would allow you to equip a shield. But what they've done since then, and it's a change that's already been made internally, is that it will just be a toggle now. But the caveat with that is that it will only give you the defensive values of half of your necromancy skill. So what that means is that previously you would cast Bone Shield and you would be able to use it once, and it would give you, you know, whatever your defensive value was for your resonance or for your barricade, right? But what it does now as a toggle is that it gives you half of your necromancy as if it was your defense level. So if you're level 120 necromancy, of course subject to change, it would give you a resonance of level 60 and it would just be on, and you could just automatically cast resonance with that. You wouldn't need to, you know, worry about activating it, using it, and then activating it again. It's reducing the number of inputs that it would take.
I was going to say, I still don't find that balance, because the first thought I had when I heard that is, even if they were to make that change, I didn't know that they had gone through with it. It doesn't matter to me, because ideally I would get 120, so my shield would be 60. But then if I don't need to switch to a shield, one, there's no value to it. But two, specifically like my Telos rotation, I actually use Wanded Defender, so when I barricade, it's still 13 seconds, but if I can just fractured staff spec, camp my staff, and still use defensives, you know, you're going to be running into a situation where one, it devalues that gear entirely, but two, why should I be able to use a fractured staff spec, camp my staff for 295 damage as well as
at the
barricade?
Same time. Yeah.
Right.
So it's a question of what that interaction is going to be with other skills. And, you know, we have to trust the Combat Council to make the right decision on that, because, you know, picking cherries at this point on that, I don't think is worth our time. But this is just one of those examples of things that needs to be ironed out.
Yeah, and I was just going to say that I'm assuming that is entirely why they brought in the playtesting so early, because I would think the skill is actually, you know, people, when Mod Doom said S as in soon, I was thinking more like soon as in within the year, not soon as like right around the corner. I feel like it has a lot more stuff to be ironed out as far as balancing and probably some of the mechanic interactions with how the targeting works, and just some minor other details along the way that they run into when they start making, you know, one change leads to another. So.
Yeah. Tanis, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that it could be playing into this, you know, this idea of necromancy being a tank class by allowing tank abilities, you know, easier.
And I would say that if while wearing necromancy gear, then you can use defensives. That would be fine. I don't see any issue with that. But the issue becomes when it affects all the other styles. So I think if you, I don't want to say keep it closed within itself initially, maybe besides some minor things like, say, a smoke cloud type of effect or animate dead, those kind of things are fine. But when you add full defensives to an already established style, that's where I think they should wait. Use necromancy first, and if they want to expand after that, there's no reason they can't open that up to the entire game. But something like this is so obviously broken that if they didn't make some kind of change, I would be very, puzzled or concerned at the direction going forward.
It's a lot easier to not give something and add it later on than it is to give it straight away and then take it away.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to other bosses like Terraket and the Magister, there's an opportunity in the future to rework these bosses and anything related to necromancy. They see this as a way of, completely rebalancing the Magister, maybe at some point giving Terraket's weapon as a drop there. Because, we've talked about before how bad the Magister is. I think it's probably my least favorite boss encounter in-game.
I think it would be actually great to revitalize that content by making it a specific boss that you fight with necromancy again once it comes out. Because, one gives you opportunity to revisit a piece of content that, let's be honest, Magister is not anybody's favorite boss. So it would give you more opportunity to, I would say, one, revitalize it, but two, I would say the nature of that boss is just it's a straight DPS dummy that has some hard number caps, which are also annoying.
Right, but if you have high enough DPS, you can just burst it through and you don't need to worry about any of the mechanics. So
right, which is also the downside of the boss. It's literally just a DPS dummy at this point, but it would allow them to kind of update it and possibly, that might make the entire dungeon more valuable. So you could revitalize an entire area or piece of content in general just by the necromancy skill, which I think they're going to have a lot of opportunities around the game to continue that for. I wouldn't even mind like a whole year of just necromancy based updates or fill-ins or stuff around the game that is pertinent to the skill itself.
And then I think the last thing I want to scratch here with the Q&A, that was a question to Timbo about the ritual design process, and he said that there had to be a skilling component to it, and that with that they learned a lot from archaeology. It's a fairly complex skilling method. They work to make it as streamlined as possible and find that balance between AFK and lean forward skilling, and they want to make sure that the process for getting into it is as smooth as possible rather than doing it post-release, do it now. So with this, it'll be introduced in the tutorial, and it's something that you'll use and keep coming back to through the entire skill. So everybody will have to do rituals, Tanis, and to access the talent and upgrade your armor, you need to do those. So I feel like we already talked about that, but that was just a clarification on that. And they mentioned the bandstand as well for that. Music will have actually a high impact role in the boss, believe it or not. So not only are they going on the lore angle, they're going on the music angle as well, which I thought was pretty neat because I don't think they've ever done that before in the skill. They said it's a narrative where you're bringing unlife back to the city and the bandstand is in the middle of the city. We'll play a prominent role with that. So, music, lore, combat, new abilities, talents, so on and so forth, unraveling the entire thing. Let's get our final opinions here on where we're at with what we know right now. Let's start with you, Tanis, since you were a bit skeptical coming in.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed at the pure breadth of the skill. When they said that this is the biggest content release since EOC, I believe it. I think it's even bigger than archaeology. I think it's going to touch so much in the game, and it also provides a lot of choice. You And what it does that is a little bit different is, yes, you can choose, you know, what you want to focus on. At the same time, you kind of have to, you will have to interact with all of it, you know, to get all of the benefit, which, it's kind of cool because, you know, if you told me I don't have to do quests, well, guess what? I'm not doing. If you told me I don't have to do something, well, guess what? I'm not doing. So, you know, but I'm just impressed at how big. I didn't see it coming, and I didn't see it being this big. So, I'm optimistic, and I'm actually a little excited. I you know, I'm collecting new shobbies right now, and I'm prepping. You know.
How about you pronounce this?
Yeah, much the same. I wasn't excited about it at the start. Having seen what we know about it has made me hesitantly optimistic. One other thing that I did like is RS Guy actually addressed it when he asked them about accessibility type things like sounds and lighting, mm-hmm. and they said they are, you know, they are actively looking at all that type of stuff now as well, for those audio cues and such. So yeah, I think those type of things are, you know, great to open up the game to everyone. And I agree, it will probably be bigger than archaeology, because it is heavily touching on combat as well as the skilling side, and in just that well-rounded type thing where it touches lore, quests, skilling, combat. You know, it gives you a bit of everything. And that's it. As I said, with some of those things, if they're unsure about it, don't put it in release. You can add it later on, but it's always easier to add than to take away. So as long as they get that balance right at the start, we don't sort of see an invention type thing, you know, when that was released,
let's
how broken
not.
That was.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to address it because there were issues then. You know, the tech tree side of things that they did in invention was not done right. This way, where you go tank or power, hopefully they get that branching system right there. I do like the fact that you cannot unlock everything on both sides until you hit 120, and that the fact that it does go to 120, I think that's a big win as well. I think every skill should, every new skill should go to 120. Yeah, so as I said, hesitantly optimistic.
All right, Dragon?
Yeah, I mean, we'll just have to see how it actually comes out, but there's, you know, a lot of stuff that looks very interesting and you can be optimistic about, but there's also some concerns, and again with the playtesting, I think that's why they brought them in. So I'm pleasantly surprised at the depth of the skill itself, because I mean, I was honestly just thinking summoning 2.0, right? But
yeah.
It looks very complex, and there's a lot of stuff in scope, so it sounds like they're going to be adding updates too throughout the year. So,
oh yeah,
I would
of course,
like to
it's
see
an Necromancy
after,
season,
right? I would like to see after, you know, they kind of say that we're going to transition back to like regular game updates, and not every update probably having some kind of Necromancy tie-in. See where it's at, because I think that's a good place where you'd want to come back and review and see what they had changed, updated, and you know, added to the skill by that point, because then it will feel more like a finished product, since it's, you know, 20 some years behind all the other skills.
Indeed. And, you know, for me, as I mentioned in this week, I was really apprehensive going into this, and I didn't know why. And it once I started, you know, thinking about it and ordering it, it became clear what my concerns were. And it comes down to the wider perspective of the combat system. And, you know, granted, I have gotten way better with the combat system since Elder God Wars, to the point where I'm decidedly mid-tier, bordering on high-level PVM, let's just say. but I've always disliked the movement system. I've always disliked Switchscape, both for equipment and prayers and the perceived non-responsiveness of the UI due to the tick system. Those have always been things that have bothered me with the combat system. And of course, with that, it's a worry to me that I would have half of a skill to enjoy, specifically the rituals and lore, while still finding combat clunky throughout all that. But based on what I've seen, I feel like they're taking this on as a fresh perspective on how you would do combat in RuneScape 2022. And if they can pull that off, like I said in our opening statements in relation to it being a new combat style, then I feel optimistic about it, because it needs to bridge those huge pain points that are there in the RuneScape combat system. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. No ifs, ands, or buts on that. So, all right. We will, of course, be following Necromancy as we push through this. We'll be bringing you all the updates on the live streams that come up, all the information that we get, so on and so forth up until release. But just going to do a quick reminder, Golden Cape Hunt is active, the beach is active, and with that, not too much has changed at the beach, but they did add some new old cosmetics. Let's just say the Hear No Evil, See No Evil, and Speak No Evil monkey hats, the monkey mace, the summer sun ring, the summer storm ring, the ice cream cone hat, and the sunbathe emote have all been added to the store that you can purchase if you didn't have that. And the beach will be in game from May 30th until June 26th. And with that, I think we can move on to the patch notes, unless you guys have any beach specific notes, right?
No, just if people are hunting the shards, they are. You do get them from the beach. That is one thing they've added. But pets, other than the fishing pet, you still cannot get the pets from beach events.
Which I think makes sense when you look at it.
Yep. So.
Patch note-wise, fixed an issue where charge bows always consumed the Ceridoman, Guthix, and Zamorak arrows on normal attacks, and added the 10% hit effect that those arrows would have based on the type of arrow they are when used with the bow. And fixed an issue with Slayer wildcards not being consumed when killing a Slayer monster from an assigned Slayer task with a kill count of 0. So you could have infinite Slayer tasks if you had the coin here with this. And that it would just, you know, let you keep killing for the Slayer XP and not consume the wildcard. Oops. At the beach, they added new portals for flash events in Fort 4 and 3. Replacing some previous portals, and the Fort 4 and 3 portal will automatically teleport you to the latest content added, so no matter where you left off, you'll be at the next logical step. They also increased the XP for construction, fishing, and strength XP from various beach events. I don't know what the magnitude is of what we're looking like, but from what I understand, talking in the community, they are quite substantial. If any of you guys had a chance to dip your toes into this at the beach...
Oh, I've just been in the hole, so
I mean, that's the one you'd choose, if I'm being 100% honest. based on that, and, you know, that has also been rebalanced. Farming and Dungeoneering XP at the beach has now been rebalanced so that it scales to level 120. Previously, it only ended at 99. And from what I understand, that is quite substantial, in that at 120, you're looking at about 220,000 Dungeoneering XP per hour.
It's nice AFK if you don't like the maxi minigame.
Yeah. I know there's people who are still going for 120 who I said, you know, just wait till the beach comes back. Go in the hole.
Jump in the hole.
I went, that's pretty much how I did the end of my Dungeoneering journey. So they also reduced the complexity of the coconut shy guy, which is ranged XP, and the hook a duck events, alongside rebalancing their XP rates. So just some beach quality of life features as the beach launches for another year.
I do wish the those advanced cocktail shaker things included cooking and dungeoneering to extend the time on those that you do. Cooking, I mean, it's a pain that, yeah, you're sort of clicking every 10 seconds. You know, it'd be nice to do it like every 2 minutes if they had that done, and the time in the hole, if they sort of doubled that with the, or even added an extra 50% with those shakes. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
And I feel like this is a wider discussion when it comes to holiday events, but does the beach scratch the itch for, you know, one of those mid-year events? It feels like we just had Easter.
Yeah, it come right on the tail, and sort of, you know, having the Cape Hunt and this sort of immediately after a double XP week, it sort of, yeah, a lot of people like to take a week or so break. You sort of fall straight back into, you know, the long grinds of AFK stuff, which I don't know. I think a little, you know, a week or two break between, you know, DXP and another sort of time-consuming event would be nice.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like that's a wider discussion we could have about this holiday event in particular, because at the end of the day, it's not, you know, Christmas, it's not Halloween. I feel like those are the two biggest ones and always have been. But the beach, yep, is just something that was brought in, I feel like 2013, 2014 at this point, went away for a few years and came back. And, you know, it's just there, and I'm not sure what its general purpose is aside from providing a socializing event. But that's, of course, a wider discussion that we can probably have at some point. So with that, we're going to move on to your achievements right now, because we are towards that point in the show, and with these, I just want to say that this is the end of the double XP storm. We got a good collection of them this week, so I'm glad we have four people to help go through these. So starting off, we have Popo, who got 120 divination on the 31st. Robbie, 200 mil fletching on the 30th. Jesse Pinkman, 120 woodcutting on the 29th. Mosin Natha, 99 fletching on the 29th. Then on to the 28th, we have Farox Kratos with 99 magic, defense, slayer, and attack. Hyacliff got 120 divination, and then Anzilla on the 27th got 120 herplore and 120 invention.
Then moving on, also on May 27th, Farox Kratos again, 99 archaeology. Jadkor got 120 runecrafting May 27th, also May 27th. Lord Dusty with 120 hunter. Turd Sniffer, 99 thieving. And WM Penguin with 120 herblore. On to the 26th of May, Arcane got 120 defense, and Farox Kratos again with 99 woodcutting.
Nicely done.
Moving on then, on the 26th, we have Malinoric with 120 summoning. We have Nuni01 with 99 invention. We have Nerd with 99 cooking on the 26th. And we have Draro with 99 prayer on the 25th. And oh boy, we have Hephaesto 5 with 99 divination on the 25th.
Also, continuing on the 25th, Queen RuPaul got 99 thieving. I'm guessing it's Sile Aces with 120 Hunter. The Legend Turd Sniffer, 99 Dungeoneering, and 99 Cooking. Tistok Rex, 120 Summoning to round us out.
Right on. And that's, and you know, it's always fun seeing these come up on Double XP. I think we're through the end of it, but we got so many more on the way. So congratulations to everybody who took part in Double XP and got some 99s and some 120s. Alrighty, we're going to move on to Pick of the Week. I think we're just going to do one of them this week. So, Dragon, what do you got for us?
Now, Paramount Plus, there's a show called Fire Country. And I would say it's a little bit of a drama, but kind of interesting show. Talking about the forest fires of California, and it's basically about firefighters that have to deal with that stuff, and you know, just kind of interesting show. And it's also got kind of like a redemption arc, which I always kind of like those shows anyway. So pretty good watch. Me and my wife have started it, haven't quite finished it yet, but yeah, Paramount Plus, not the most expensive streaming subscription, so pretty affordable too. So,
all right, sounds good. What would you say has been the highlight of the season, or the parts of the seasons that you've watched so far? What does it do different compared to other shows?
Well, I think it actually, is building more of a storyline, and then just happens to be of these like firefighters. So, it seems more like a story, but they also kind of include, you know, some of the things that possibly could come up. Like I said, it's pretty dramatized as far as the situations, but
yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of the information is actually pretty accurate as far as how you would actually, handle the issues. So I don't take it as, historical fact or anything like that, but it's pretty interesting overall, just how they tie that into the developing story that they kind of add on to every episode, adds a little bit more to this kind of like the main storyline.
And you know what I see here that's really interesting? It's a 22-episode season. I'm assuming they're hour-long episodes, right?
Yeah, they're 45 minutes, 50 minutes without commercials.
It's so rare to see a show that does more than, 10 to 13 episodes a season in this day and age.
Right, it's a lot. And they have the new season coming up and I don't know if it's ending or not, but it sounds like this is the last season that they actually are. Once you hit that final episode, they're going to be adding a few more to it. And then that's,
is that the end of the series then?
Right. So I think it's just wrapping up here, but I haven't quite got to the end of the 22. So.
Right. Okay. On January 6th of this year, the series was renewed for a second season. So there's going to be another one after these 22 episodes, believe it or not.
Yeah. And then, I was under the impression it was the final season after this one, though, which
okay.
Only two seasons. So not sure how many episodes second season would be. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a pretty good watch. It's not probably going to be.
And see, that's the thing
I
find with these streaming services in this day and age is that you don't have to commit too long for these series. But at the same time, when you pick up a new show, you're going to be watching and waiting for upwards of a year in between, which is always interesting. And that's just been one thing that really put me off, TV 5-6 years ago at this point, is that there's so many shows that come out that get one season, you wait 8 months to hear another one, then it got canceled, they're not gonna finish the show. So it's good that with this one they're at least getting the ability to finish it.
No. For sure.
All right. What have we been doing on RS? Tanis, what have you been up to? How'd you round out Double XP?
Well, I did woodcutting, did idols and bamboo and, that kind of stuff. And then because when I looked at the list and I thought, I bet all of this stuff is spiking for necromancy, I'm like, let's do the Iron Man thing and just prepare that way. And so right now I'm just working on getting Ushabis so I can swap things out of my dungeon as needed. And then I will probably start moving into getting my bars, any bars I don't have. And I already got a decent selection of bones. I don't think you're going to need a lot of bones, but...
Famous last words.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, right? But we'll see how that goes. If I do have to collect bones, then I got to remember to deactivate the bone crusher.
Oh, you know what this means? This means that I can do something in necromancy with Sirion's bones, because I still have his bones in my bank from one time when we were PVMing.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if you could if you could get the bones of another player and resurrect them as a little slave behind her, you know. He's your new pack yak. You got Sirion walk there, hunched over with this huge pack on his back. He could be the override for, you know, your pack yak and things. That's what we need. We need that.
We need a necromantic Sirion.
I want a pet Sirion.
Yeah, I think we all do. Perd, what have you been up to?
Again, double XP. I was sort of trying to get a bunch of skills to at least 150 on the 200 mil chase on all now. Got smithing up to 195. Sort of, I had a whole lot of...
Jesus! 195 mil?
Yeah, I got a whole... I had about 300 or 400 plate body, 3s and 4s that I had, so I just made them all 5s. Then dumped them on the GE sort of about midway through and made a bill because people just want them for burials. So that was a nice little money increase. Got runecrafting up, did about 30 mil runecrafting. So yeah, just sort of working all my levels to at least 150 before I start chasing the 200 mil. And then this week, obviously, just spending time at the beach chasing shards. Yeah, that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea to get the Dungeoneering shard thinking about it.
Yeah, well, you're just sitting there. I mean, are you getting good Dungeoneering XP? Because I've completed everything in Dungeoneering now. I've got all my hard floors done. So now it's solely going to be done through events like this, because it's not something I really enjoy, Dungeoneering. And it's great to just sit in there, you know, put on Netflix and, just AFK on the laptop while, you know, watching a good TV show.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't done much shard hunting myself yet. I plan to get onto that next week or so. What I've been preoccupied with, I can say it at the end of the show. I've been getting 60 attack in old school. I'm currently at level 50 on the rock crabs.
Oh, very nice.
I need to unlock my dragon longsword, because we've done Lost City. I just haven't got the attack level to wield it yet, and you know. With the combat system that is old school, you just run and aggro the crabs and away you go. I have a feeling we're going to be looking back and saying, oh boy, how simple that is compared to necromancy at the end of the day, even compared to, you know, 4-tick auto-attacking. But there is an elegance to it. I feel like I'm on the way of convincing you to play old school with some of the training methods we've been talking about.
Yeah, I've got... One of my accounts is pretty mid level and sort of on a lot of skills. I'm sort of 70s and 80s in most skills over there. So I mean, much as when I pick on old school and call it the official, you know, private server game and things like that, it is all tongue in cheek. It is a fun game, and you know, I want the survival and health of both games to keep going, because you know, the more money Jagex makes, the more that they can put into development, and that relies on the survival of both games, you know?
Yeah. So after that's done, I'll be doing my shard hunting. I have already been, you know, doing my farming runs and my daily sandstone and whatnot, as I've mentioned, to try and get the gathering ones down. So that'll come eventually over the course of the month. So I'm not too fussed over it, because like we mentioned last week, the cape, it's okay. I'm not, you know, going to jump up and down for it, but...
someone's going to sit in my bank for 10 years.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
Until you need your all gold outfit to go with your golden toilet and your POH, right?
Yeah. All my golden Guthans and such that
Right, right. The golden god swords, too. I forgot about those.
Yeah.
I think I have a couple
When I wear those, I do wear the superhero gold cape. I think that's a nice cape, so yeah.
Go ahead, Dragon.
But just finish out double XP on my ults, and we're going to do 4K round 2 this month where I get my ult to 4K warden.
Oh my god, how are you doing that? What style?
Magic, of course, and I had to spend, I didn't have to, but I spent 6.6 bill on like the max telespear that I use. So
Jesus. Yeah,
pretty light on cash now that I finally did that, and so hopefully the 4K will get me at least a little bit of that back. So
why? I get why. It's the achievement 4K, right? But
why? Yeah, it's just my favorite boss, and I don't know. I just had always planned on.
And you're not Iron Manning this, right? You're buying the gear. No. You're buying the gear with money you picked up through PBM.
I don't have a active Iron Man, so I really gave up on that. I'd much prefer to actually play the content instead of grind for the content, you know. So, but yeah, it's just gonna be. I want to see how much easier it's gonna be this time, because last time I started at 1,000. I probably played 4 hours a day, and I would get maybe like one or two kills. So it was a very, very long grind. Now I feel like it's probably going to be like a significantly faster experience once you know what you're doing. So
yeah, and probably good to get that in before the fractured staff changes happen, right? Or you think that would help you?
I think it's actually it would help the other way, but I won't go into depth. We don't have enough time to break it down.
Yeah, we talked briefly about that, I think, when that was happening. I think you were on the side that it was going to be fine, I think, though you were having a bit lower DPM along the way, if I remember our discussion correctly on that.
Yeah, it's just, I think, the way it is now, it doesn't require as much thought, whereas, it's going to require more planning and execution of four ticking for one, but just ability choice is going to matter more, whereas now it's pretty much a set rotation and you just pray for crits, which isn't necessarily the best way to do it either. So I'm in favor of the nerf, but I do think it's making it more difficult overall. Again, accessibility is even lower than when you don't have a standard rotation where you don't really need to know anything. You just know this one and you pretty much can do it at every boss. So
alrighty, folks. Well, I think that pretty much wraps us up for this episode of Update. I hope that our discussion and our first look at Necromancy was revealing. We tried to go not too deeply into expectations on this because I don't want to inherently set the table what to expect for anybody out there should it not materialize to that. So that was the big caveat I want everybody to walk away with from this episode. But as we go through this, we'll bring you all the developments and whatnot as we go, and the best way of course to get that is to subscribe to Update. And with this run, a whole suite of podcast listeners out there, we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Pocket Casts, Spotify, and more. Just visit update.show/subscribe, and of course we're also on YouTube at youtube.com/rsbnb. give us a like and subscribe there. Greatly helps the channel out. You can find the video versions of the shows, the nibbles, and so much more with that. But thank you for being here, Dragon. Good to have you back.
Appreciate it.
And Parnassius, you too.
Yeah, thank you for having me once again, and happy scaping to everyone out there. Hope you get your capes made quickly.
Yeah, I hope so too. And Tannis and I, of course, will be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See you.